the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God indeed. Hope everyone's doing well, having a wonderful weekend. What a wonderful, wonderful Christmas presentation that was this morning. It's just neat each year and every year. It seems like it just gets better and better. Let's all stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer this evening as we get ready for to have a congregational song. If you have a prayer request this evening, just show by the raising of your hand. Oh, God knows and sees each and every one. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise your holy name. Yes, Lord, we thank you for allowing us to gather in your house and in your name. Dear Lord, as we come together tonight, dear Lord, may we be in one mind and one accord. Dear Lord, ready to worship you, dear Lord, ready to receive the word that you have for us tonight. But dear Lord, we just want to honor you in everything that's said and done. Lord, again, we ask you now, you see those hands that were raised, you know the depths of our hearts. And dear Lord, all the prayer requests that have gone forward, dear Lord, we ask that you'll just touch each and every one. Lord, we're placing them in your hands. Dear Lord, we ask for you to be with those that are sick and shut in, those in nursing homes, assisted living. Lord, those that are at home and not able to be with us for whatever reason. My Lord, we just love and praise you. Again, dear Lord, we just thank you for your mercy and your grace. Again, dear Lord, as we ask you to bless our pastor, strengthen him and his family as we go forth. And each and every ministry going forth from our church, dear Lord, we ask that you'll bless and just let it just be to honor you. Dear Lord, we give you all the praise and honor in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen, 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 amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Going to do a little more seasonal tonight. If y'all would sing with me and just help me with this. We want to do Joy to the World, page 408. Joy to the World. Heard it coming. Joy to the world. Praise the Lord. Joy to the world. Seated if you can, just praise God. I was kidding Miss Elaine this weekend. It's taken me just till, I guess it was yesterday, to start getting in the Christmas spirit and all the things going on. It's just, you know, you're just going through the numbers there. But I think it's good that we all slow down, just like the service this morning, and just really know the truth and, you know about Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and the love of God that he gave Jesus for each and every one of us. Praise God, praise God. We're going to go ahead and take up the evening offering. We have any announcements? I don't have anything up here. All righty, praise the Lord. Come some help. Brother Jim, would you ask the Lord to bless our offering, please? Amen.
Favorite, remind me, dear Lord, is this okay?
Yes,
this good? The things that I love and hold dear to my heart are just borrowed. They're not mine at all. Jesus only let me
and
Jennifer, go ahead.
If it's a foreign battlefield where I finally find your will, Lord, then that's where I want to be. In the desert without a drink, on some old ship about to sink.
You want me to do, and I'll say what you want me to say. That's a mouthful, isn't it? We'd all be willing to do that. There's no telling what God would do through his people. How many blessed folks we got in the house tonight? Well, I kind of feel like singing a little bit, and no, I'm not going to sing Ring of Fire beside although it may look like I may take off on that one. Thank you. time is taken, I would say there's no mistaking that over next to you we belong. There's a place that we are nearing that so many have been fearing, and over the next year we'll be home. When we get there, we're all hoping that we'll find the gate is open and there'll be a refuge from the coming storm. It up just a little and go to B flat.
Well, I had a lot of trouble to try.
One more mountain to climb, one more valley that I got.
Hold me to his nail-scarred hands. Hold me to his nail-scarred hands. One more river. One more mountain. Come on, that ought to make some folks happy. One more trial, one more heartache, one more hardship, then it's all going to be over. Amen. How many is counting on that promise that the Lord has given us? Amen. That he's gone away to prepare a place that where he is, we may be also. I long for the day, I long for the time when we too shall leave this walk of life, amen, and take up our abode in that heavenly place prepared by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is so good to feel the festive season and enjoy all the wonderful splendor and everything. I never grow tired of enjoying Christmas. There's that part of the kid that's always in me, and I thank God that I hope it never leaves me. Amen. I just love it. But even that pales in comparison to what the Lord has prepared for us when we get over there. You know, I have no idea what heaven's going to look like. I know it's going to be grand. It's going to be beyond our ability to fathom or imagine. But think about the glorified body. Think about not only the place where we're going to spend eternity, but the body in which we're going to be allowed to spend eternity in. There will be no such thing as a bad mood anymore. There will be heartaches, no problems, no trials, no troubles. All of that's going to be a thing in the past. And I think that is the reason that our adversary now is doing all that he can to discourage us, because I believe that he knows that the end is soon coming, amen, when this church is going to leave here and go home to be with the Lord. My, that is a comforting thought. The Bible says when you see these things begin to come to pass, don't hang your head and cry. Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh, amen. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles tonight, and I appreciate you coming on a Sunday night. Normally, after a Christmas presentation, we don't have Sunday night service, but we're having a baptismal service tonight. Amen. So we're looking forward to that. Amen. Sister Tori's going to be baptized. And, we thank God for that. Amen. But right now, let's go to the word of the Lord in Psalms 91, chapter 91, verses 1 through verse number 7. Psalms 91, verses 1 through 7. Thank you for the reading of God's holy word. The word says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence, somebody say amen, amen, that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Can we pray? Precious Heavenly Father, how we love and thank you, God, for your great mercy, your abounding love, Lord, and your amazing grace. We're so thankful for each and every one that's come this way tonight. And Father, we pray your blessing and your anointing upon each and every person here tonight. Help us, Lord, to be in one mind and one accord. God, receptive, submissive, and obedient to your word and to your will. God, as we come together to worship you, to praise you, and to glorify you. Father, I humbly ask, Lord, that you would just anoint this vessel, anoint these lips of clay tonight as nothing more than a mouthpiece and a vessel, God, that the Holy Spirit may speak through us tonight. God, I pray, Lord, that you would reach out to each and every person who is in need tonight. Many are sick, many are afflicted. There's a lot of prayer requests that are out tonight too, Lord, and I pray, God, that you would reach on behalf of each and every one. And by faith, Lord, we call those things done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. You may be seated. Amen. What an honor that is to be able to give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. That makes me think of the song, if you're happy and you know it, then your face will surely show it, and you clap your hands and praise the Lord. And I never, ever want to be found not willing to glorify and praise the Lord. Tonight, for just a little while, if you would allow me, I want to bring a message entitled, Under the Shadow of God. The writer here says, under the shadow of the Almighty, which is synonymous. We know that God is Almighty. We know that God knows all, sees all, and is aware of everything that is happening. Sometimes we don't think that He is, and we find ourselves reminding Him of what's going on in the world and how bad things seem to be, and sometimes even how bad our own situation is, when in fact He already knows. There's not a thing that happens in the universe that my God, our God, is not aware of. He knows not only what your past is and your present, but thank God He also knows our future. And I believe, as born-again children of God, that we need to trust God more with our future. Worry less and trust Him more. Here we find this, according to Bible scholars and readers and writers of the Word, they surmise that this psalm was written by Moses while he was still in the wilderness. Now, let's go back, if we can, in time for just a little while, and we find Moses and the children of Israel, and they're not too far into their journey when the children of Israel begin to murmur and complain. We find them at one particular point 3 days without water. And I would imagine they get pretty testy after 3 days without water. I can imagine today we would get pretty testy and aggravated to have to go 3 days without any water or sustenance. But they began to blame Moses. And Moses, again, you know, he was reluctant to even go on this mission. If you remember, he had to be thoroughly and absolutely convinced by God. Now, I know that none of us are procrastinators like that. I know we, when God speaks to us, we're ready to do exactly what He wants us to do in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, that God calls on us. Can I get an amen? Got a few. No, we're probably a lot like Moses. We're a little bit reluctant. We're a little bit one to offer excuses and reasons why we can't do it. And I will assure you that God doesn't make any mistakes when He calls someone to minister or to do something. He knows what He's doing. So Moses was already a little bit reluctant, didn't really want to be the leader, but yet he wanted to be obedient unto God. And I believe with all of my heart, it is better to be obedient unto God, amen, than care what man says or even care what our own desires are. So history tells us that Moses was crying out to God because they actually found water. But it wasn't good water. And I want you to think about that. They were so excited to come upon this little waters of Marah, they called it. But the waters of Marah were not fit to drink. I just want to pause for just a moment. When we are waiting on an answer from God, and we say that we live and operate by faith, and when we see a glimmer of hope, we reach for that carrot, so to speak, or we reach for that little ray of hope, and God's not ready for the miracle, amen, to be revealed to us. But because we see a glimmer of hope, that's what we reach for. Many times we have made wrong decisions. We've jumped when we should have waited on the Lord. But they see the water, and immediately they try to drink the water, and the water was so bitter that they could not drink it. So Moses was about to the point of giving up. He was just about as frustrated as a leader could possibly be. The Bible says in Exodus in the 15th chapter, down around 23, 24, 25, that Moses began to cry out to the Lord. Now, I'm intrigued by that particular phrase, because when we cry out to the Lord, that usually means we need immediate relief. Many times we will pray, many times we will call on the Lord. But when the phrase is, we cried out to the Lord, and I'm not going to ask you to show a raise of hands or anything, but if in fact you've ever been in a situation where it necessitated that you just cry out to the Lord, you didn't care who was around, you didn't care what people thought of you, you needed immediate help or relief or a miracle or a touch or a healing from God, and it was so desirous in your spirit that you begin to cry out to the Lord, thinking that He's way off somewhere and He just barely can hear you, and you're crying out in your flesh for help or relief or an answer to come.
Moses was beyond his ability to handle this situation, so he began to cry out to the Lord. The Lord didn't tell him, well, you're on your own. He didn't tell him, I didn't bring you into the wilderness for all this moaning and groaning. But he pointed his attention to something that was already there. Something that many times is overlooked when we're looking at the ray of hope or the glimmer of some type of relief or an answer to prayer. Sometimes we miss the obvious. We miss what God is really trying to lead us in because we're looking at something that is desirous of the flesh to help us, to strengthen us, to encourage us. And the water was not fitting to drink. Even the animals couldn't drink it. So the water was there, but they were still thirsty. Hello? So the water was there, but they were still thirsty. It was not fit to drink. And Moses cried out to God, and God showed him a tree. Some identify or define that it was a branch of a certain type of tree, and some interpretation said it was a log. Whatever the case was, I read up on history, there's no such tree, bush, branch, or log in that particular geographic area of the world that has any sweetening power whatsoever. But how many know we serve a great God? Amen. I mean, understands and knows that God is able to put something, amen, that doesn't even belong there, but he can put it there because he is God Almighty. He is God omnipotent. He is God omnipresent, and he's God all-knowing, and he can do anything. The things that sometimes we classify, God, this is too big for you, that is not a true statement. God can, and in fact, do anything. So he shows them this particular tree, branch, or log, or whatever it was, and he told him to cast it into the waters. And as he did, the waters became sweet. But the waters was forever known as the waters of Marah, meaning bitterness. Moses was so impressed with this particular event, and rightfully so. Has anybody here under the sound of my voice ever been so impressed at the move of God that it's always on your heart and always on your mind and you'll never forget what God did for you? Amen. Can I get a testimony? Can I get a witness? If God has done something so wonderful for you that it made such an impact on your life, man, that you'll never ever forget it, and you'll praise him not only throughout this life but throughout eternity. And it made such an impact on Moses in it, and it kind of refreshed Moses, and it kind of made him understand that, you know what, this burden is not just on me. God is going to be with me. I don't know if you've ever come to a point in your life or in your spiritual walk with God when you realize, I don't walk alone. I don't face a problem alone. I don't face a situation or a sickness or affliction alone. I am always constantly under the shadow of God Almighty. Amen. I won't go a place where he is not with me. I won't face a trial that he's not right there to lift me up. I won't face a situation. There is nothing in my future that I will have to face alone because of the promise of God and because of the relationship that we have with the Lord Jesus. We know that we are constantly abiding under the shadow of the Almighty God, the creator of the universe, the giver of life, man, the author of salvation. Moses begins to realize this, and he's encouraged, and he's uplifted, and he's refreshed in the fact that he knows that wherever they go, whatever the wilderness journey is going to have in front of them, he knows that he will be constantly tutored, constantly helped, and constantly guided by the Almighty. Someone said that the phrase under the shadow of the Almighty came from an Eastern proverb, meaning that
when generations grew up, that as long as the father of those children were nearby, they knew that they had constant security, safety, and protection. Therefore, the term came, dwelling under the shadow of the father. Moses, being somewhat familiar with Eastern customs, being the area that he lived, was able to incorporate this in a spiritual connection, not just a natural father. If you had a wonderful relationship with your dad, you know that he would do anything and everything in his ability to protect you, to keep you, to nurture you in any possible way that he could. Fathers are just like that. Mothers are as well. But there's something about the protecting and the security that we have when we know that our father is with us, especially when we're still young. Then we grow up to be fathers ourselves, and we take on that nature as well. You know, when we were little, we would like to take the last piece of candy out of the candy dish. But I will assure you, I got grandparents in this house today that will say, oh, just give it to the kids. Can I get a witness? Come on, you'll do it. You know you will. And even if it's one of the best candy bars there, you'll still, well, just save it for the kids if it's just one. That is that fatherly instinct that we have. And even as our kids grow up and our children grow up, and we're trying to come to grips with letting them mature and become adults and become responsibility, we're always in the wings watching and looking. And it's because, not because we don't trust them, but it's because the love for them is so great that we want to protect them with every ounce of energy and ability that we possibly have. So that's where this particular phrase came from, or this particular proverb came from. So Moses is thinking about all this. And on top of this, this poem or this psalm or this song, according to many, was written in pieces and finished at the completion of the tabernacle in the wilderness. Many knows that the temple that Solomon built was not the first tabernacle where the house of the Lord came in, or the Spirit of the Lord came in. The Lord allowed Moses and the children of Israel to erect a tabernacle or a temple, even though it was a tent and made of animal skins and whatever it was. The Lord would dwell in that because it was dedicated unto the Lord. Amen. And a story has it that upon the completion of the tabernacle here in the wilderness, and Moses was so excited and so happy because the people had a will to work. When the people came together as one and blessed by the Almighty God, they were a force to be reckoned with. When they murmured and complained and grumbled, they were in fact easy prey. Can I reiterate that? When the people began to come together as one, as a unit, and begin to work together and prefer one another, God blessed them and helped them, and they had a mind to work, and they were able to bring forth in the wilderness things that they had to erect a tabernacle of praise unto the Lord. Amen. If people are willing enough, we can raise a tabernacle even in the most adverse times, even when the times it doesn't seem like there's anything to praise about, even when it seems like the land is a total wilderness, even when it seems like we haven't had any spiritual water in several days, when the people come together and have a mind to work together, God will bless and God will anoint, and we can erect a spiritual tower, a spiritual tabernacle unto God for the purpose of glorifying and praising Him. So Moses begins to pen these words. He's very specific here. He doesn't say anybody. He doesn't say whoever. He says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. Meaning there is a place of comfort.
There is a place of security. Even in the most disastrous times that you and I can face. If, in fact, you've had several things that happen to you in your life. Terrible things. Maybe even at the point of catastrophic things. I will assure you that if you are one of the he's that dwelleth in the most secret place of God, you'll not face anything alone. God will always be with you. The Spirit of the Holy Ghost will always be in you. Amen. How many is thankful for that? Glory to God. He doesn't leave us, amen, when there's trouble on the horizon. He doesn't leave us, amen, when situations come against us. In fact, that is the time that I think that we lean on the Spirit of God the most. So Moses says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. As a natural father, my shadow will not cast very far. I probably need to be in eye contact with whoever I'm trying to shadow. I, as a natural father, have my limitations. I remember telling Karen when she was approaching, she thought, the age of dating. And her age and my age did not correspond. And I was telling her, no, I was thinking more like 20, you know, to start dating. 25 maybe to go steady, and then maybe after you reach 30, you might want to talk about being married or something or whatever. And that did not sit very well, but she listened anyway. And I remember telling her that when she first started dating at age 20, then her mother and I would ride along with them in the back seat. Because that's about as far as my shadow would be. Why? Because I loved her. I wanted to protect her. I wanted her to grow up a young lady. But I wanted to make sure everything went as perfectly well as possibly could. Then I realized that that was not going to work. I was going to have to trust her raising. I was going to have to give her the benefit of the doubt and hope that the things that her mother and I had instilled into her, that she was able to incorporate into her life and know that she was becoming an adult. And in becoming adult, we must be able to trust them. Therefore, my limits of my shadow would only reach so far. But not so with God. You'll never outgrow that lack of need of responsibility from the shadow of the Almighty. I'm approaching 70 years old, and I still need the casting of His shadow over my life. Every morning when I get up, Brother TJ, I know there's one thing I can count on. It's not the weather. It's not my 401k. It's not the news. It's not anything else. It's not even if Penny's got the coffee made or not. But the one thing when I wake up in the morning that I know that I can count on, I know the shadow of the Almighty is over me wherever I go. I can't take a step without His shadow being there for me. I can't face an experience alone because His shadow is always above me, protecting me, comforting me, keeping me secure, and keeping me safe. Moses began to be refreshed in knowing this, knowing that still there was a wilderness journey. Still there were corners that they had to turn and things that they had to face and enemies that they had to prevail over. But he had this reassurance, amen. We built a tabernacle. We built a place for the house of God. We've seen the pillar of fire. We've seen the cloud of smoke. But we want to build a habitation for God. If you've ever seen the mighty hand of God move, if you've ever been the recipient of a miracle, you need to prepare a habitation for the Almighty God. You need to invite Him in to your life. Not only invite him in, but make him Lord and Savior of your life through the infilling of the Spirit of God that I don't ever, ever want to face a day without. He went on to say, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and fortress. There's times God needs to be my refuge. There's times, let's just face it, even filled with the Spirit of the Lord, sometimes we get beat up. Sometimes we get to feeling kind of sorry for ourselves. Sometimes we feel like, Lord, I didn't know it was going to be this bad. I know you said we'd walk through trials and dry places and climb mountains and go through a lot of little streams, but Lord, just when are you going to let the victory roll again? And we need that refuge. I don't know if you've ever needed a word of comfort, or sometimes a word of comfort is great, but you know what works about as good as anything I know? A hug. Sometimes I just want a hug. You know, sometimes when life has been very difficult, house seems a little cold. Words are few and far between. When you just kind of nod or grunt, it's so comforting to just, I want a hug. And then there's so much said in that hug. Especially if she squeezed it a little bit. Just, you know. And then when I squeeze her, and when I squeeze her, sometimes she goes, and then I let go of her neck, and then I don't squeeze quite as hard then. But a hug says so much. But in my spiritual walk with God, there's sometimes I really can't explain to God what's going on. Because I don't really know. I'm blessed. I got life. I was able to get up this morning, but something just don't feel real good. And I don't know if I'm only one's ever walked in those shoes. But if you have, and sometimes you just go to the Lord and he just wraps those big, strong, loving arms around you and just gives you a gentle squeeze and lets you know, I'm here. I'm here for you. Man, we love to be there for one another, but when God does it, come on, somebody. I said, when God hugs us, oh, my Lord, there's nothing like, amen, feeling the strength of Almighty God. And we need that refuge. Even if we've been saved for years, there's times in our life when we need that safety, that security, and that reassurance from a hug, being in a place of refuge. But Moses didn't leave it there. He said he's also a fortress. I'm going to tell you, sometimes we need power in our life. We certainly need a refuge and strength and security, but there's times we need power. Come on, if you haven't grown a little bit in power and in strength during your relationship with God, I would consider asking you to get more in the Word, more in fasting, more in prayer, more in exercising your faith, because you need to be strong in the power of God that he has instilled into each and every one of you. We do have power, power that the world doesn't know, and we need to have access, not only have access, but use, man, the power that God has given us. And I thought about that fortress. And I thought about that fortress that stands high and mighty. And the devil ought to think twice about coming against you. I know sometimes he doesn't care. And he always kind of comes against you sometimes when you need that refuge rather than when you need that fortress. But Moses said, no, we need a refuge and we need a fortress. We need consolation, we need security, we need safety, but we need power. And I believe we're living in a time when we need more power than we've ever had before. Amen. And God will give us that power. There's nothing that can come, nothing that can stand against the power of God. Moses knew that God, that being under the shadow of God Almighty, would give us a refuge and fortress. And then he says, in him will I trust. We say we do, but do we really? Do we really trust God with our future? Do we really trust God with our health? Do we really trust God when seemingly everything around us is falling down? Or do we get caught up in the... I want to say this. And I am not prophesying. I'm not given a brand new revelation. I'm just observing. And many of the writers of the Bible were able to observe things. In fact, Solomon wrote Ecclesiastes and the Proverbs and many things. He just observed and wrote those things down. What I am observing today as a minister of God is a great, powerful force that the adversary has found out that works. It's a four-letter word, fear. He is instilling fear in almost everything and everybody today. Fear bleeds distrust. Fear bleeds animosity. Fear breeds all kind of things that are against the Spirit of God, because perfect love casteth out fear. And how many knows that God is love and God is a perfect love? And according to this psalm, we are continually under the shadow of Almighty God, his wings completely casting a shadow of protection, refuge, and a fortress over us. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he will deliver, or shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. Who would that be? That was the adversary. And there's not a thing in the world that Satan can come against us with that God is not able to deliver us from. Man, if you've ever been delivered, if you've ever been had chains, whatever those chains are around you, if you've ever had the Spirit of God to break those chains and to set you free, you know what I'm talking about tonight, and you ought to give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight for that deliverance. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. There's been so many analogies of the wings. And if you've ever observed any birds, fowls, chickens, whatever, the wings that they have protect their little ones. Not long ago, Penny showed me something. I don't know if it was on Facebook. Maybe some of you saw it. And I don't know if I got all the details right, but I got the general thing. There was a massive forest fire out west, which happens quite often, and it just was burning any and everything in its path. And there was, I believe it was a hatchling bird that they found alive, because the mother had covered over it with the wings. The mother was charred and burnt completely, but the little hatchling was saved because of the mother. That is an instinct of an animal. How much greater is our protector? He doesn't want you to suffer. He doesn't want you to be harmed in any way. And as I said, my protecting ability is limited. His is not. So he will protect us. And I want you to take encouragement in the fact of knowing. In fact, I would charge each and every one of us to read this in its entirety. And just know how much of a promise that God has given us in his protecting power and his ability to keep us and shield us from all manner of things, not even just what we're facing now, but even things in the future. And I take courage in knowing, and I take heart in knowing that God is going to protect us. Let me quickly try to wind this up if I can. And it says, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. Now understand, Moses is writing again to the children who are in the wilderness, having somewhat of a premonition or a prophecy of some of the things that they are going to face. But God is ensuring him and encouraging him that I am going to be with you and protect you and the children of Israel throughout. He didn't know it was going to be 40 years. He just knew that ever how long it took, God was going to be there with him. But I think it still applies today. I don't think that children of God ought to live in constant terror or fright or fear. Can I get amen? Amen. We're the children of God. And being children of God, we are heirs and joint heirs to the kingdom of God. I know where my home is, don't you? It's not here. Amen. My home is just yet to come. Don't be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow by that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence, hello, that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. And then it goes on to say, 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh unto thee. Why? Because we abide under the shadow of the Almighty God. How many is thankful for that relationship that we have with Almighty God? May God bless you and keep you. And we just had a wonderful day today. It's been so festive, I guess is the word. It's just been so enjoyable. And we appreciate everybody that helped. The program was just wonderful. The children and the little angels, they just had cold chills when the little angels came up. And thank God for that. But at this time, we're going to ask Sister Tori to come and prepare for the baptism service over here. Sister Kayla, you can come with her if you want to and familiarize her with the preparation room over there. And maybe if the music would come back and play something while we go back and prepare to have a baptismal service. Amen. Can you give the Lord praise for this one that's going to be baptized? Amen. Glory to God.
Again, God Everyone's invited to come closer if you want to see. That's fine. Those are pictures. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you, God, for this pleasant opportunity, God, to baptize this special young lady in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you for her profession of faith. We pray, God, that you'll be with her, lead her and guide her and direct her. In Jesus' name we pray. Jim's going to direct the closing of the service. In fact, if you have a prayer need, understand this altar is always open. So, Brother Jim, turn it over to you at this time.
Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If y'all would, just gather around. If anyone else has any prayer needs this evening, just come on up. Praise God. The thing that in our prayers is for those that we're praying for and with, that they also accept Jesus and accept God's refuge. We can stand there and say the door's open, but he's saying, come on in. And that's what we want to do now for these situations, for these families that are struggling right now. And it's a wonderful time of year, but it's also a hard time of year. And I just want us all to just keep each and every one in our prayers, all hearts and minds clear. We're not, this altar will stay open. If folks have to leave, I know there's work and, well, I guess it's not school, but there's work and all tomorrow. But we'll pray with you. Love each and every one of you. Thank you again for joining. Those watching online, if you, again, as you know, we've said it many times, but if you're a first timer, if you have a prayer request, just type it in the comment section. Even if you're watching at a later date, we do go back and we see those prayer requests, and we definitely will be praying with you. All righty. Well, with this prayer, we're going to be dismissed. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise your holy name. The Lord, we love you. And dear Lord, we thank you for this message tonight. We thank you for allowing us to gather in your house. But dear Lord, your word is powerful. Your word is truth. Your word is strength, dear Lord, and your word is encouraging. Lord, may we turn everything that we have over to you, dear Lord, and let you be our refuge, our guide, dear Lord, even through these dark times that it seems, dear Lord, and we just want to praise and worship you. Lord, I thank you for those in attendance tonight, those watching online, those that weren't able to be with us that have an opportunity to listen later. I heard that testimony this morning that even when they travel, they can still turn it on and listen to the message. It's not First Pentecostal, dear Lord, it's all about you. And we give you all the honor and glory. Now, Lord, we're thanking you now for answering these prayers. We're thanking you for the peace and the love that you've given each and every one of us. And we're just giving you all the glory. And in Jesus, the most precious name above. And we all say, amen, amen. Amen. Praise God. Love y'all. Praise the Lord.